There's an interview with Jeff Bezos that's been getting a lot of buzz in online tech circles recently. You might have seen the headlines. Bezos wants you to rent cloud space instead of buying PCs. Bezos says AI will force end of PC ownership. In the interview these articles are actually referencing, Bezos talks about going to an old brewery in Luxembourg with a museum, including an old electric power generator.
And the brewery was 300 years old. They were very proud of their history, and they had a museum. And in that museum was an electric power generator. They wanted to improve the efficiency of their brewery with electricity. There was no power grid, so they had to build their own power station. So they made their own electricity. And I looked at this and I thought, this is what computation is like today. Everybody has their own data center, and that's not going to last. It makes no sense. You're going to buy compute off the grid. That's AWS.
Notice he said data center. Bezos is talking about AI companies here, not end consumers.
What is it that you're doing at Amazon?
AI. Yeah. In fact, this trip was one of the little tiny catalysts for the founding of AWS.
But I think the admittedly clickbaity common interpretation of his words is not without merit. You've probably noticed that hardware prices for consumers are going through the roof these days. Every day it seems like another company wants you to rent something you could previously own, or a consumer-friendly feature is removed for no good reason, or a previously good product is slowly made lower and lower quality. It's rough out there for the end consumer. But despite all the doom and gloom, I think that there's a lot that we normal people can do to push technology into a healthier direction, both individually and, more importantly, collectively. And for the kind of person that was recommended this video, I also think that these solutions are a heck of a lot of fun to get set up and running. What solutions am I referring to? Stay tuned. Hi, welcome back. I'm Seth. The video you're watching right now is a bit of a divergence from my normal style. I'm normally a retro tech exploration sort of channel. You know, like a Matt Casey or a Bringa Studios. If they had Sonic autism and looked like JD Vance. But I decided to make this video anyway because, well, I really don't like the direction that the tech industry is headed in right now. I think a lot of my peers feel the same way, and I think I have something actually useful to say about it. Don't worry, I have no interest in becoming some sort of tech drama channel. This video is terrifying enough to make already. It may not seem like it when I'm reading off a teleprompter completely alone in my room, but your boy has social anxiety. But even if it's not my normal style, I think this video will be very illuminating as far as my philosophy and general approach toward technology goes, and will be pretty indicative of the kind of future content you can expect from me. Plus, it actually ends on a good note. I think the way we tackle all of these issues is actually cool and punk as hell, so stick around. Alright, let's start by fully addressing the elephant in the room. AI. This whole buzz started, and the whole reason you probably clicked on this video, is because of AI. I really wish we had decided to call it machine learning rather than AI. Calling it artificial intelligence anthropomorphizes the tech more than I think is appropriate, but I digress. As I'm sure you're aware, new data centers are starting to pop up everywhere as AI companies scramble to compete with each other and improve their offerings. These data centers require a ton of hardware, especially RAM, as running AI requires a whole buttload of memory to both train and query. All the AI companies, which I remind you are losing fuckloads of money and only have spending power thanks to investors, have started buying up RAM in droves, and even started calling dibs on RAM that hasn't been produced yet. Whoops, quick edit. Apparently, as I was editing this video, OpenAI actually failed to purchase 40% of the world's RAM. El Bozo? Get fucked.
That's right, using money they haven't made yet, AI companies are buying RAM that hasn't been produced yet to make a product that, from what I could see, most people despise. I guess that's a functioning economy, baby. The effect of all this, of course, is that there's very little hardware left for normal consumers to buy, and prices have shot through the roof. For example, almost exactly a year ago, I bought this kit of RAM for $210 from Newegg. That same kit now costs nearly a grand. Yeah, holy shit. And it's not just memory, too. Any kind of storage is starting to creep up in price. SSDs and even spinning Rust hard drives have doubled-ish in price. And GPUs have spiked, too. Granted, they were already overpriced. To say it's expensive to build a computer right now is an understatement. It's straight up impossible to put a new machine together that's not severely kneecapped. And what's worse is that we really don't know when this is going to end. Maybe AI is a bubble. It pops, and RAM supply goes back to consumers. Maybe it's not a bubble, but manufacturers decide to make more RAM and there's no scarcity anymore. Or maybe they just don't, and all RAM is funneled to ChatGPT till the end of time. In any case, the current issue is the same. Many consumers and gamers are going to have to go without new hardware for a while. With this reality in front of us, and headlines like this showing up, many cynical comments have been made online claiming this whole scheme will be used to get people to give up their local hardware and commit to a subscription-based cloud future. And while it is true that this RAMpocalypse is likely temporary and prices could eventually go back down, well, I'm kind of inclined to agree with the cynics on this one. You might have noticed that tech isn't the only industry trending in this rent-based direction. Ever since Netflix started blowing up in 2008, pretty much every company on the planet has wanted to get a piece of that sweet, sweet subscription money, where revenue comes in consistently every month, and also notably that the company owns everything and the consumer nothing. No one buys discs anymore, they subscribe to streaming services. No one buys perpetual licenses for software anymore, they pay a monthly fee instead. Hell, you can buy subscription services for razors, the ability to get food delivered slightly cheaper, more fake Pokemon cards on my phone, your LG refrigerator, and even for basic functionality in your car. It's madness. And every time a company pivots to subscriptions, it takes agency and ownership away from the consumer, all for the allure of convenience and a lower upfront cost, but it's likely even more expensive than buying upfront was given enough time. And well, since every other industry is doing it, why not tech hardware?
I know, son. But if all your friends were named Cliff, would you jump off them?
It's already happening, in fact. Sony just partnered with a company called Raylo to allow you to lease a PS5. HP now offers a subscription service for their laptops. NZXT will allow you to rent a gaming PC from them. I'm sure you've already heard of services like GeForce Now, Xbox Cloud Gaming, and previously Stadia that are indirectly a way to get access to hardware you don't have and will never own via subscription fees. Despite all of the cons, this is getting normalized, and the increasing prices of buying hardware outright, not to mention that wages are stagnant, at least here in the US, means more and more people are forced to use these subscriptions if they want access to basic computing or gaming hardware. Now, I'm not arguing that all subscription services are bad, but I'd argue that the way that subscription models are being applied to so many industries en masse is usually, at its roots, predatory. Your power company needs money every month to buy fuel to generate your electricity, sure, but why the hell does Volkswagen need money every month to unlock more power in their cars that already came out of the factory with the capability to make that horsepower? Why do I need to buy a subscription service for a fridge? Who the hell came up with the phrase home as a service and didn't immediately start vomiting blood as they said it? A service like this is predatory because it takes ownership and control away from the consumers, and it preys on the public's inability to think long term. They bet on people being so allured by low upfront cost, or being so deprived of basic resources that they can't pay upfront, that they don't realize years after the fact that they've been fleeced, either by not doing the math on the total cost, both financial and opportunity, or just forgetting that they were subscribed in the first place. Plus, since the consumer doesn't own whatever they're renting, they can't repair it, sell it, or pass it on to someone else. Big companies really hate the used market, more on that later. And the company can take access back at any time if payment isn't received. Do I even really need to argue to you that these companies are bad? In case you didn't know, big tech companies suck. They, and the oligarchs that control them, are evil. Full stop. Yes, they do good things too, but I for one happen to think just because these companies innovated something cool 20 years ago doesn't mean that they should get to have all the power that they currently have to control all of our lives. Also, if you think that Elon Musk, Bezos, Zuckerberg, or any of these ghouls cares about you or normal humans as a whole, I'm sorry to break it to you, but you've been conned. If you've paid any attention to how these companies develop and the choices that their oligarchs make, it should be very clear that their end goal is ultimately wealth and power for themselves.
You would prefer the human race to endure, right? You're hesitating.
Yeah, well, I...
Yes?
I don't know. I would... I would...
This is a long hesitation.
There's so many questions implicit in this.
Should the human race survive?
Yes.
Elon Musk lies constantly about his cars, at the expense of his customers and anyone else driving the same roads as them. Mark Zuckerberg pioneered this privacy hellhole that we currently live in right now. I should mention that Meta has spent billions lobbying governments for all the age verification laws that we're currently getting. Jeff Bezos treats his workers like garbage. Microsoft is Microsoft. I'm sure I don't need to explain that to my audience. All of these people used technology to get to where they are, and now continue to use technology to push everyone else down. If you want an example of just how out of touch these people are, Sam Altman had this amazing thing to say when asked about the high resource cost of training AI models.
One of the things that is always unfair in this comparison is people talk about how much energy it takes to train an AI model relative to how much it costs a human to do one inference query. But it also takes a lot of energy to train a human. It takes like 20 years of life and all of the food you eat during that time before you get smart.
Why would any human being in a million years think that that's a fair comparison to bring up? Yeah, Sam, human beings need food to live, and using our limited resources to cultivate happy and healthy human lives is infinitely more valuable than fueling your machine that makes people stupid and generates this garbage.
People talk about how much I eat PP. This is the worst thing ever. You know, there's no point to life.
To be clear, I believe AI has a ton of amazing legitimate use cases. I studied machine learning and neural networks in college. I'm aware of just how many breakthroughs in science and healthcare have been achieved because of AI. But I also believe that all the people who are currently trying to shove AI down our collective throats and the politicians that they lobby don't deserve any of the power that they possess. They constantly are doing things and creating laws against the public's will for their benefit at the expense of everyone else. It is so abundantly clear to me that big tech just does not have our best interests at heart. So yeah, it's bleak. The incredible strides that we've made in technology over the past couple decades have been co-opted by a handful of monopolistic megacorps into tools of surveillance, abuse, and just chaos. So what can we do about it? Do we accept our cloud-based, subscription-based future where no normal person owns anything, I have to consult an AI chatbot every time I might have to sneeze, and privacy is only the hopeful dream of a bygone era? Well, no. I think there's actually a lot that we consumers, and more importantly, free human beings, can do to at least try and rein in the power of these groups. What if I told you that we don't need any of these companies? Yeah, I'm serious. We don't need them. First, I should say that it's important that you engage in whatever political system you belong to. Rich CEOs might have louder voices, but yours does still matter. Otherwise, they wouldn't pay so much to try and manipulate it. Vote, pressure your representatives. But even if that all fails, we genuinely do not need these companies. Some of you might know where I'm going with this. That's right, I'm going to talk about Linux. You don't have to use Windows or macOS or Microsoft Office or Photoshop. Free and open source alternatives exist for all of these programs. If you're not aware, open source means a program's code is available to all the public for anyone to see, analyze, and most importantly, contribute to. That's right, normal, everyday people like you and me can collectively work together to develop and improve open source programs, totally free of any corrupting profit motive. We collectively can create the software and tools we need to live our lives without any of the bullshit locks, dark patterns, and spyware that tech monopolies inject into everything. Sure. Plenty of open source projects are imperfect, or underdeveloped, or don't exist. But that's the thing, they don't have to stay that way. We collectively can make these projects what we need them to be. Just because a viable open source alternative for your use case doesn't exist right now, doesn't mean that will be true forever. Hell, you could personally help change that if you have some development experience or are willing to learn. Free and open source projects are important, not just because they give you whatever function you need without sending your precise location and entire genome to Google, but because they compete with companies like Google. For example, you might have noticed that Linux has gotten really good at gaming recently thanks to Proton, and Microsoft has been scrambling to improve their ever-intensifying gaming experience on Windows in response. Yes. There's a lot of work that needs to be done before the average person could switch to some entirely open source tech ecosystem. I am not naive to the realities of the current landscape. But the possibility is there, damn it! If only we had more people willing to support and contribute, you know? We gotta do something. By passively supporting these companies and using their services, we only give them the justification and the resources that they then use to fuck us all over and buy up all the hardware so that we can't have any. I should also point out that self-hosting and home lab stuff is just so fucking cool. You don't have to give up the convenience of internet-connected services to stop supporting tech monopolies. If you want a streaming service without supporting Disney, pull that old computer you have out of your closet and set up Jellyfin or Plex with ripped DVDs. You can also host your own versions of Google Photos, iCloud, and so on, and get all the convenience of the cloud without sending a byte or a dime to Google. If for some reason you can't set up self-hosting, and there might be legitimate reasons why you can't, you could at least use a front-end proxy service like NewPipe to access these services without giving up so much of your data. Yes, it takes some work to set these up, and money if you need hard drives. I'm not telling you that it's easy, but if you're the kind of person who watches videos like the ones I make, chances are you'll find setting this stuff up to be really fun and rewarding like I did. And you might even be able to share what you've set up with your friends and family like I do. You could be the person to help get the people you care about off of the services that sell their data for profit. Now, some of you are already pointing out, okay, but I still have to use a Microsoft Surface or a Google Pixel or whatever. There aren't really open source alternatives for hardware, Seth, and you just said hardware prices are increasing. Well, first, I'd point out that there are hardware vendors that aren't giant megacorps, see Framework, but the point I really want to make here is that you should buy more things used. Seriously, I guarantee that you can find all of the hardware you need without having to put money directly into a Lex Luthor-alike's pocket. Chances are, if you're not someone who's rendering or compiling something cutting edge, and you're okay with not playing the absolute newest AAA games at 4K 240, there's hardware made within the last 15 years out there on the used market that will do everything that you need a computer or a phone to do. It's kind of the whole thing that I'm trying to show off on my channel here. I appreciate old tech, not just for what it was, but for all of the amazing things it could still do. Plus, by buying used, you'll probably save a good chunk of money, you keep more junk out of landfills, and you put money into a normal person's pocket to be spent on food or whatever, rather than having it be sent off to be hoarded in an offshore tax haven. I also happen to think scouring local markets and shops for deals is really fun. Finally, while I'm here, I also want to bring up one more thing. This might be hard to stomach, and it might seem slightly hypocritical coming from a YouTuber who's made tech their whole personality, but there might be certain technologies and platforms that you use that your life would be better without, or at least with less of. Hear me out. As I've started making videos over the last year, I've had a lot of time to think about the relationship that I have with all of the computers and programs that I interact with. I've parted with a lot of hardware that I just don't have a use for, and I've also come to terms with the fact that there are certain things that I've been conditioned into doing by my technology that aren't good for me. My attention span has gotten noticeably worse, for example. I have a hard time focusing on doing just one thing for very long anymore, which I previously didn't at all. Even when I'm relaxing, I find myself switching between multiple different things, different videos, different games, different chat apps. And I really don't like that. I also waste a ton of time on Reddit and Instagram. Sure, I get a lot of news and hobby knowledge from Reddit, but I don't like that I used to spend every night doomscrolling before bed, and my brain is just so dopamine hungry that I had to have YouTube playing in my earbuds as I fell asleep every night. So I decided to make some changes. I'll be uninstalling Instagram and any other social media apps that I don't actually use to connect with people. I've started reading physical books before bed every night instead of browsing my phone. I still watch a crap ton of YouTube. But I think long-form content is actually one of the best parts of the internet, and I think I've curated my feed to be pretty healthy and educational. Still, I've installed an extension and modified my YouTube Revanced to hide short-form content. I think it's more likely to be slop. I'll admit, I'm not perfect. There are plenty of things that I still do that go against this whole philosophy. But that's the thing. These big tech companies have done everything they can to become the defaults in everyone's digital lives. They've made it really hard to use technology without going through them. So I don't think anyone can be blamed for just doing the default thing, especially if they don't know better or if it's out of their control. No one is perfect. All anyone can ever do is try their best to be better. To wrap this whole thing up, things are undeniably bleak right now. The tech industry only seems to be trending toward an ever more anti-consumer, and I think anti-human direction. The powers that be want it to feel hopeless. But don't listen to them. We are not helpless. We collectively are capable of creating the tools and services needed to enjoy all the fruits of modern technology without the parasitic draw of these megacorps. There is already more than enough hardware out there to get what we need working without putting more money directly into oligarch pockets than we have to. You, as someone who's probably pretty tech savvy and someone people might trust for tech advice, could help make free and open source options more mainstream. Now, Don't be obnoxious, okay? Don't be this guy. Don't lecture people or try to morally grandstand about how your friend uses Windows 11 instead of Mega Super Arch Linux V12. But maybe you could be the one to set up a self-hosted cloud storage box for all your family's photos. Maybe you could let your friends know about OnlyOffice or GIMP if the topic ever comes up. Or just politely let your friends know about how much data Facebook and Google collect on them. Whatever you do, just be helpful, you know? I think we as tech enthusiasts should use our knowledge to help our neighbors and friends make healthier tech choices. The world is so divided right now. Care about your friends and neighbors enough to help them. Use your knowledge to make the life of everyone around you better. In fact, do that in general, not just with tech. No one has to tackle this all at once. I suggest that you start small. I started by buying a couple Blu-rays of movies that I liked, fixing up old computers and giving them to family rather than having them buy new, trying Linux and virtual machines and on a secondary computer. Then I built up to ripping all of those disks, setting up a small NAS, uninstalling Microsoft Office for LibreOffice, canceling my Netflix subscription. Now I have tons of self-hosted services. I use GIMP, LibreOffice, and DaVinci Resolve exclusively for my YouTube work. As I was writing this video, I threw another hard drive into Big the NAS and set up Nextcloud so I don't have to use Google Drive anymore. This isn't an all-or-nothing game. Nothing is black and white. Don't let anyone disparage you for having legitimate reasons or not enough time to switch to something better yet. Just do what you can right now and build up to more as you get more comfortable. That's the fun part, getting to constantly learn and improve. If you think I'm on some sort of high horse, if you don't care about anything I'm talking about, or you think I'm overreacting, look, I'm not asking you to give up all of your comfortable routines or everything you're used to doing, or throw away all of your technology and live in the woods. Obviously, I fucking love computers. I think they're capable of enormous good. To quote Charlie Chaplin,
"The aeroplane and the radio have brought us closer together. The very nature of these inventions cries out for the goodness in men, cries out for universal brotherhood, for the unity of us all."
The last thing that I want to do is take people's own choices away from them or push them into blindly following someone else's mindset, let alone mine. All I really want to ask is that you think about how you use your digital tools. Confront the relationships that you have with your computer, your phone, and all the platforms and software that you engage with regularly. These tools are increasingly designed to take choices away from you and slowly lull you into habits and thoughts that are not your own. Don't sacrifice your agency, the control over your own mind, and your privacy for cheap convenience. Remember, technology exists to make your life, our lives, better. Technology exists to work for us, period, full stop. If it isn't doing that, it's pointless. Worse than pointless, in fact, it's harmful. Don't engage with things that harm you. I think it's about time we collectively cut ourselves off from this addiction to convenience and start exercising our agency. If enough people do this, if enough people start valuing their collective health and privacy and change the way that they engage with technology, as well as supporting systems and projects that allow people to use tech in a healthier way, I genuinely think that we can improve things for the better. Especially the tech enthusiasts like us. We have influence in our local circles in regards to tech advice. So let's push the world in a direction that's a little less dystopian, okay? More solar punk and less cyberpunk. And I think that's finally all that I have to say. Thanks for watching and letting me vent. I genuinely mean that. If you liked what I had to say, consider liking or subscribing. Or if you didn't, you know, let me know in the comments, give me some of that engagement. I'm sure there's gonna be a lot of fun reads in there. I can't say the next video will be an essay like this one. I will more than likely be going right back to my cozy tech expo videos. But I can say that all of my future videos will be made with this kind of mindset at the core of what I do. Anyway, that's all for now. I hope you have a good one. You and